you've been listening to some of our favorite interviews and show segments from the last several weeks as we take a couple days off on this Thanksgiving weekend. But we wanted to put together some of our favorite moments for you to listen to because we appreciate that you are tuning in, even though you're enjoying the Thanksgiving weekend, as are we. So thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for tuning us in. And we will continue with some of our favorite moments as this Best of the Dory Monson Show continues. We've been following this drama live throughout the show this afternoon. The truck and dog that were stolen, the high-speed chase that unfolded during our noon hour, and the dog has now been reunited with its owner. Monkey, the standard poodle, is back with his owners, Carl and Stephanie, and Carl Sanders joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Carl, I can't tell you how happy I am for you and your family right now, man. Carl, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
I am here.
Oh, there we go. That just got a little bit better. Okay. Yeah, it was breaking
we're
up.
We're in Cumberland. It's a bad, kind of a tough area here. But okay. Yeah, thanks for your congratulations.
Yeah, we're going to fight through this with the connection. But I mentioned there was Cairo 7 from their chopper. They had video of you holding Monkey, and I said that Monkey's arms were around your neck, and listeners immediately started messaging me that dogs don't have arms, but it was still beautiful. So tell me about the reunion, Carl.
We got a lead where the crime scene was unfolding, and we actually happened to be on the road, and we saw several police officers with a helicopter headed that way, so we drove out there. And we got a call that they had the suspect, and Monkey was with him and jumped out of the truck, and we were close to the area. So we were able to drive, get out of the car. There's several police officers here. We were able to get out of the car and yell for Monkey. He was running. He heard the, unfortunately, all this, there was a loss of life. So yes. Monkey's very scared. He heard the gunshot and ran behind the house on the railroad tracks, and the neighbors were able to retrieve him and put him on a leash and bring him to us. And at that time, Stephanie and I were reunited with Monkey.
What was both of your reaction when, I mean, because I know we talked a couple of hours ago, Carl. I know that you guys were scared to death that Monkey maybe had been abandoned after the truck was stolen Friday. Maybe he'd been out in the cold all weekend. I'm sure that at moments you feared the worst. So what was your reaction when you had him safe in your arms?
A lot of relief for the wife and I. We just described earlier, he does mean a lot to us, and a lot of relief. He was actually safe to physically see him. It all happened very fast. It was traumatic, and it's a major crime scene at this point. So to go through all that is a lot to process.
Yeah, I understand. Do you know any of the details about what unfolded at the end of this police chase?
I believe he was dragging some police officers down the road with that they were trying to get him to stop. He refused. They did everything they possibly could before they resorted to the last resort. And that's, like I said earlier, that was the unfortunate ending of the loss of life. Obviously, he made his choice, and he had choices to not do it. He had choices to not commit the crime, and he had several choices to give up, and he didn't do that.
When you say he was dragging police officers down the road, you mean?
I don't know exactly. I've gotten a lot of different details.
Okay.
There's several police officers here. I don't know. They said there was a scuffle.
Okay.
Monkey has some blood on the top of his head. They don't know if it's the suspect or Monkey or one of the police officers. So that's telling me that there was a scuffle. I know they did everything. There was a lot of, there's been several police cars damaged. That they were, he was spotted several miles from the crime scene, and he rammed a King County Sheriff's car, I believe. And then he began a high-speed chase, and now the police don't do a high-speed chase because it involves too many times other innocent victims, so they did the right thing. I believe there was a helicopter flying over also.
Yes.
And they didn't know if the suspect was armed or whatnot, and it all came to an end where you saw the helicopter flying over.
Yeah. Carl, there is another. I spoke with the Black Diamond Police Commander, Larry Colagiovanni. You, first of all, let's repeat, you just absolutely praised the Black Diamond Police when we talked a couple of hours ago, and now King County Sheriffs were involved in the takedown of this guy. And I want to once again echo what you said about the wonderful people who work in law enforcement who worked this case for you and your family this weekend and had to bring it to an end this afternoon, right?
Yes, they have been working on it endlessly. We didn't know all the inside workings that were going on. They didn't know me from just another citizen, a law-abiding citizen, but they've been working on it tirelessly. I've always been on the law enforcement side, and they didn't give up. They weren't giving up. They didn't get our hopes up at any time. They just said, hang in there. We're doing everything I can. They were following leads in Nevada. They were following leads. They had a tip that would happily that he was possibly spotted in Snoqualmie Pass, and in with 5 minutes, they found the camera, and the camera didn't work, and then they were able to locate his mom in Cleellum. They were interviewing his mom. They did everything. I was very impressed with the police department, how well they, not just to retrieve my dog, but to care for us and to have a happy ending with all their hard work.
Yeah. Do you think Monkey was just in the truck since it was stolen on Friday, or was he taking the dog in and out of the, do you have any idea?
I believe Monkey was in the truck. The King County Sheriff that saw him on Green Valley Road that rammed him was on the radio, and they were making sure that this was the right suspect, and he says it has to be. There's a big blonde poodle staring out the passenger side. You can't miss him. This is the suspect. And so Monkey just drank about a gallon of water, ate a couple cans of Alpo. He's fine now, but I believe he was in the truck for 3 days, and he's kind of timid. And so if me or Stephanie aren't around, he doesn't really like to eat. And so I believe he's been so scared for 3 days, he didn't eat.
There is another aspect to this story, Carl, and you referenced it earlier. The suspect is dead, and this never should have happened. A judge, the prosecutors correctly got a $5,000 bond after the police arrested him on October 28th. He has a long criminal history, and without posting that bond, a judge just 13 days ago released this guy on personal recognizance. And because of that, this mayhem was inflicted on your family's life, on the innocent citizens who were driving the roads out there this morning and afternoon, on your dog, and ultimately on the suspect himself, who has now died. And none of this should have happened if the judge hadn't released this guy. What do you say about all that?
I couldn't agree with you more. There was no excuse whatsoever. He should have been in jail, and none of this would have happened. You can't release a guy in his own recognizance when he has no responsibilities and he's a known drug user. And the Black Diamond Sheriff or the Black Diamond Police knew exactly who it was the moment the crime happened. There was no gray area with this entire case.
I know.
And something needs to happen to that regard, because now, I have a traumatized dog. Steffi and I have been somewhat traumatized. I have a truck that's completely gone, which doesn't matter, but now I have to deal with all of it.
Yeah, and your phone's breaking up again a little bit, so I don't know if we've lost you here, Carl, but
I'm here.
Okay, yes, you are. And I know this is of a distant importance to you, but the truck's totaled, I assume. Is it just finished?
Yes, I've been told several times by several different police officers here, you want nothing to do with that truck.
Yeah, okay. Well, look.
Which is fine. I have insurance. I can replace the truck. The loss of life can't be replaced. And the dog's fine. And, I'm a religious man, and I believe my prayers have been answered with how this has all come down to the regard for the return of our puppy. And Stephanie and I are safe. Yeah, we just need to do more with this law, with this letting these guys out and run around in the.
Yeah, I know, and that's my bottom line, and that's where I'm going to move forward with this, Carl. Is I couldn't be happier for your family, for your dog, but this judge needs to be held accountable. She is directly. I have the name of the judge. I need to independently verify it with a second source, but this judge needs to be held accountable because her actions contributed to this man's death almost as much as his own, because he had shown just a reckless disregard for the law and for his own personal safety. And a judge in her, I mean, this is almost a mental illness with these activist judges who put criminals back on the streets, and they don't care what innocent people are affected, and they don't apparently care if the criminals lose their life. They just want to get the revolving door going through the court, and this has to stop. And if it takes your story to best illustrate this and to move forward on me continuing to speak out about this, then that's exactly what I'm going to do here, Carl.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I certainly hope the judge will see this story. Oh. And come to some realization that this has to stop. There's too many innocent victims that for no reason.
Well, Carl, I really appreciate you coming on with me. You told me a couple hours ago you're a great daily listener to the show. I'm sorry these are the circumstances where we finally got you on the radio show, Carl.
Well, I'm a very private person. I listen to you as much as I possibly can. And I will continue to, and hopefully we can talk again soon, share our views, and be more active with what's going on with this court system.
Yeah.
All of that. So, yeah, I would be more than happy to do whatever will, with you, whatever helps.
I am going to stay on this.
But I'm a lucky man because we have our puppy back today.
There you go.
He's very traumatized. He's in the back seat of the car, but he's got a lot to eat and drink. So I think he just wants to sleep. I probably haven't slept in 3 days.
Yeah, I understand. Well, you said you're a religious man, so I feel very comfortable saying God bless you and your family and your pet. And I'm happy for you. I'm sorry for the loss of life. And we're gonna see if we can move forward and expose the madness of what this judge did here. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Carl. All my best. We'll stay in touch. Okay.
Yes. Thanks again.
Okay, Carl Sanders. He has just been reunited, him and his wife Stephanie, with their dog Monkey, and I don't know if I will have my second source on the judge's name before I get off the air here this afternoon, but certainly as we move ahead this week, we're going to talk about a judge releasing a vagrant, no known address, criminal history as long as your arm and your leg combined, and they let him go with the promise, no doubt. I mean, he was supposed to appear in court tomorrow. If we let you go, will you show up in court on Tuesday, November 26th? Oh, yes, ma'am, I will. Okay, well, go be free. Go see what kind of destruction you can go create. And as I said, I will try to get this judge on the show. I would love to ask her if she carries personal guilt for this career criminal being dead, because he should not have been back out on the streets. Arrested again on October 28th by Black Diamond Police. And I'll tell you something else. If you heard my interview with the Black Diamond Police Commander at 12:30, who's a great man, Larry Colagiovanni, the cops have had it. The cops are arresting the bad guys. And you know, out in places like Black Diamond, Enumclaw, Maple Valley, the good salt of the earth people of King County, they still believe in crime and punishment and law and order. And I got a text from one of, I'm sure, a liberal listener who said, "Dory, what do you think the judicial system should be all about? Rehabilitation or punishment?" Because these activist judges, and now you have the Seattle City Council, they say that they don't want to prosecute property crimes. They want to just rehabilitate. And people ask me, what should the justice system be about? Rehabilitation or punishment? That's a false choice. It should be about both that if we send a message that you will not be punished when you commit crimes, when you shoplift in downtown Seattle, when you walk into a store and walk out with an armful of $150 shirts, and you know that the store staff have been told, don't engage shoplifters. If you know that the prosecutor won't prosecute property crimes, if you know that there are no consequences, then you're going to keep committing crimes. Now, if we're interested in rehabilitation, that needs to come at the end of the punishment. But we have to get back to, if you, like this guy, the guy who's dead, he tries to kick out a police car's windows and doors, does thousands of dollars worth of damage, resisted arrest, had to be tased. He should be, if convicted of all those crimes, he should have been locked up for a year or two. And then at the end of that year or two, you offer him every service available. But we're insane if we think that we need to bypass punishment and go straight to services. Because it's not working. You look at what's happening on the streets around here. It is not working. The liberal mental illness that is our current justice system has led to the madness that we're seeing on the streets right here. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome! Welcome to the big show. Welcome to this very special Thanksgiving Day edition of the Dory Monson Show. I hope you're hanging out with family, friends, loved ones, maybe getting your dinner ready right now. Here's what we've done here at the Dory Monson Show. We want to be with our families today, too, but we also want to be with you. And so we have put together some of our favorite segments from the last few weeks and months here, and I think you're really going to enjoy what we have coming up for you. I think Thanksgiving is my favorite of holidays. I'm such a traditionalist. My Aunt Sissy, who I just loved so much, she would always make this apple and banana salad. And it was, that's all it was. Apples, bananas, and whipped cream. And I would whip the cream. And I have such fond childhood memories of that, that we now still have apple and banana salad every Thanksgiving. I've tried everything with the roast. Tried smoking it. Of course, I've done the deep fried turkey. And we're just going with oven baked today because we're going to do the traditional stuffing in the turkey. So that's what we're up to this afternoon. But like I said, I hope that you are having a fantastic day filled with love of people around you and good food. And of course, I tell you this all the time, but not often enough. When I count my blessings, you are very high on my list of blessings. Very happy Thanksgiving, and enjoy some of our best of segments here on this Thanksgiving Day edition of the Dory Monson Show. Oh, that guitar riff you hear there and play that funky music. The artist is a guy named Brian Bassett. He's going to be in town in a couple of weeks performing with Foghat at the new Angel of the Winds River Run Event Center. And Brian Bassett from Foghat joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Brian, good to talk with you.
Hey, how's it going? Great to hear from you.
Yeah, and of course, this song is when you were with the band Wild Cherry. That's become one of the more famous, you know, little guitar opens, I think, in music history.
Why, thanks. And, you know, funny enough, it was my very first time doing a professional recording session. And that song jumped up the charts. I was like, wow, this music business thing's pretty easy.
Seriously? That was your
40
first?
40 years later, yeah.
That was your first one? Oh, my goodness. Because then, gosh, it was several years after you guys recorded that song. Craig Kilborn made it the theme song for his CBS late night show, right?
That's correct, yeah. It was their theme song for quite a few years there. And, you know, and it's just a great song. You know, I always make a joke that we hit the wedding circuit along with We Are Family and The Electric Slide.
Oh, yeah.
Every wedding you go to, you pretty much hear that song being played, you know, in the dance portion of the after event. And, you know, and it's great to hear it still on the radio after all these years.
That has to be, even though it made the biz seem a lot easier than it actually was, that has to be enormously satisfying for an artist to have anything that has had, that's been like 45 years? That song's been around? To have that kind of staying power, that's got to be great for an artist.
Oh, well, you know, I'm proud of that. And, you know, to have any kind of song that breaks through, you know, the way that song did and have so many people remember it, you know, it's just a joy for any musician.
Yeah. And now the reason I had so many listeners who contacted me when they heard that Foghat was coming because I always start the 2 o'clock hour, the final hour on my Friday show. So it's the last hour of my broadcast week, and we always start it with this.
I got a little bone to pick with the programming department. But you know what'd kill you every once in a while to play a little Foghat?
And then right out of that, Brian, we kick it, you know, we usually play different songs every week. But that's how I've memorialized your band Foghat with little Jim Carrey, and we play a little bit of your music every Friday afternoon.
Well, that's great. You know, and of course, that's our biggest song, Slow Ride. That Jim Carrey piece, we got such a big kick out of that. It was hilarious. I think he dressed up, you know, in 70s attire as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for me, it just means that my weekend is about to start since it's the last hour of my show every week. And that makes me feel happy. It makes me just really feel good about coming into Friday afternoons, Brian.
Well, that's great to hear. It's a good TGIF song for sure.
Yeah, that's right. So tell me about this journey, because you were not an original member of Foghat. You've had quite the list of artists that you've performed with over the years.
Yeah, I've been very lucky to, you know, make a living doing what I love and playing guitar and being involved in recording. After Wild Cherry, I relocated to Florida and became a studio guitarist, engineer, and worked for a little blues label called Kingsnake Records for close to 15 years. I met Lonesome Dave. I had a blues quartet that played in Orlando, Florida, and my friend Pat Travers, a great guitar player, brought Dave, who had just relocated to Orlando from England, to see my band, because we played very obscure old blues music, and Dave was a blues aficionado. We struck up a friendship, and really for a year, my band backed him up on a sort of a review thing. Pat Travers would play a few songs with my band backing it, and then Dave would come out. And when Dave decided to go back out on tour, he asked me to join up with him, and really that was in the mid-80s. There was a break of 7 years when the original band in 1992 reformed with all their original members, and the great Rod Price, the original guitar player from Foghat, came out of retirement, and they played together for 7 years. I ended up in Molly Hatchet for those 7 years because we had just finished a European tour with Dave and I. And when that tour was over, they asked, you know, they knew Dave was reforming with the original guys and asked me to join their band, which I did.
And just in case my listeners don't know, Lonesome Dave, he was the original lead singer of Foghat, right?
That's right, yeah. And the principal songwriter and wrote Slow Ride, of course. And but, yeah, we just became great friends and remained friends all that time. And when Rod Price retired again, Dave asked me to rejoin the band in 1999, and I've been here ever since, so going on 20 years with Roger and myself and Charlie Hune, who came into the band after, sadly, my dear friend died. Dave, you know, passed away in 2000. And so the three of us have been together, and along with Craig McGregor, who was the second bass player but was in the band from the 70s. We played together for many years until the poor Craig passed away as well. And Rodney, and our, funny enough, Rodney O'Quinn, our current bass player, played with Pat Travers. So it's sort of a tight-knit little circle of friends and that we've managed to keep the band on the road and playing all these years.
Yeah, and again, Foghat's going to be the new Angel of the Winds River Run Event Center on November 9th. It's got to be very odd to, I know it's a thrill and joy. You told me you still do 65 to 70 gigs a year. But, you know, you compare it to your earliest days when you are the rockers who are going to live forever. And as time goes on, you mentioned that you've lost a couple of your dear friends in the band. It's strange to contemplate, because I think when everybody was listening to your music back in the 70s, your fans, and I'm sure all of you guys, thought that you were all going to live together. Or live forever, I mean, not together.
Well, we actually did live together in the early days.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a pretty good flip. But, you know, you think about it, you know, it's so much different now, but to do something that you love to do, you know, playing guitar, I'd be doing it whether it's on tour with a famous band or in my local restaurant with my fellow blues friends, which I do on my off time. You know, it's an activity I love to do. I love to play guitar. So, you know, to be able to make a living at it is wonderful. But I'd always be playing guitar just because I like to play guitar.
Sure.
You know, it's sort of something, you know, when you have success, you know, a long career like mine, it's like a roller coaster ride. You have your up good years, your down years, and you meet a lot of people. But one of the biggest joys for me of at this late stage is to see how many bands of our contemporary 70s guys are still out there touring. And it's, you know, you see them, it's like old home week, you know, hey, you know, you all have memories from, you know, 30 years of touring. And, you know, got bands like Cheap Trick, you know, we did shows with ZZ Top and, you know, George Thorogood. I mean, we run into so many 70s acts still on the road and drawing well. So it's at this part of our career, it's just fantastic and a lot of fun.
Yeah. My wife and I just went down to Vegas 3 weeks ago to see the Eagles. And I mean, that's because the ticket buying populace, the people who have all the money to afford tickets, they're the people who are my age now, you know, and who grew up with your music, I suppose.
Exactly, and we do quite a few casinos across the country, and really we're the demographic now for their main draw to the casino as well. And, you know, when people want to hear those songs, that's what really I think that was the biggest surprise to us all, that our music lasted so long. But the fans that saw us when we were young are just still the same that come out and see us now. And sometimes with their children and grandchildren, for that matter.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's the songs and the music and remembering those good times. That's what a lot of it's all about, I think.
Yes, it is. Well, they will be at the new Angel of the Winds River Run Event Center on November 9th. Foghat, like I said, Brian, you guys are a part of my show every week, so I had to get you on. It's good talking with you, and I appreciate you being part of my show today.
Hey, well, thanks so much, and thanks for keeping us out there.
Absolutely. Okay, all my best to you, Brian. Have a great trip up here to the Northwest.
Yep, I'm going to come up a couple days early. I love that part of the country.
Okay. All right. Take care. Thank you, Brian. Brian
Take
Bassett
care.
From Foghat joining us. Like I said, makes me feel like Friday every time I hear him now. And we have lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
I don't want you to make my bed. I don't want your money too. I just want to make love to you.
Tell me likey. Tell me want wingy.
Fellow babies, and now it's time to go to our live remote man on the scene at the Pinedale Shopping Mall for the big WKRP turkey giveaway. So take it away, Les Nessman.
Really glad that you are with us on this Thanksgiving weekend. We are playing back some of our favorite moments, highlights, best ofs from the last couple of months, you know, so we can get a couple days off with the family. And because the Seahawks have a Monday night football game, It means that I get Sunday off, too. So it's a full four-day weekend. And on Monday, by the way, we will be doing our show live from the CenturyLink Field Event Center from noon till 2. And then at 2 o'clock, I will shift into our Seahawks pregame coverage. And that is going to be a huge game for the Seahawks. Monday night, the Minnesota Vikings have an 8-3 record, and they are playing about as well as any team in the NFL, as are the Seahawks. And so you match up those two teams on Monday Night Football, and that's going to be fantastic. So that'll be our schedule when we are back on the air live on Monday. The Dory Monson Show, live from the CenturyLink Event Center from noon till 2. And then Seahawks football pregame starts right at 2 o'clock. And we will take you right up to kickoff of Monday Night Football, my pregame show co-hosts and I, because you are listening to your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. And between now and then, enjoy some of our favorite segments, interviews, and moments from the last few weeks here on The Dory Monson Show.